Businesses and families would flee, not just from our city, but from our state.
Elements of his plan echo the cuts Governor Pat Quinn has proposed making to current state employees' pensions, but the Chicago mayor says the city needs to take a different path. Emanuel says city employees should work an extra 5 years, and he wants them to put an extra 5% of their paychecks into their retirement. He also wants workers who are already retired to forego guaranteed annual cost of living increases for a decade. House Speaker Mike Madigan says Emanuel's appearance bolsters the case for changing both the city's and the state's pension plans.
I think his presence is helpful on pension reform across the board.
But unions are already slamming the mayor's package as unconstitutional and a scare tactic. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
You can find more news at will.illinois.edu. In sports, the Chicago Cubs host Atlanta at 1:20 today. The White Sox are in Cleveland to finish up their series at 6:05, and the Cardinals are in Arizona continuing their series against the Diamondbacks at 8:40. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News.
Support for WILL comes from .us, a growing web address for small business, providing a community for small business owners to access website-building resources and find domains. On the web at kickstartamerica.us.
Listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. I'm Craig Cohen. An upper-level disturbance will bring light showers to parts of the upper Midwest and Great Lakes today. The system could drop far enough south to bring some sprinkles to parts of eastern Illinois and Indiana. Otherwise, dry weather. Seasonable temperatures can be expected for the remainder of the work week as surface high pressure shifts overhead. Rain chances will increase this weekend as a cold front approaches the region, but this is comparable. It's not going to increase that much. High temperatures today will range from the upper 50s along Lake Michigan in northeastern Illinois and southeastern Wisconsin to the mid-70s in southeastern Missouri. Low temperatures tonight will range from the upper 30s in northeast Indiana to near 50 degrees in central Missouri. In Champaign-Urbana today, partly sunny, a slight possibility of some scattered sprinkles this afternoon, the high around 68, winds out of the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, the low near 42, tomorrow, sunshine with the high 73, Thursday night, mostly clear, the low 48, and Friday, sunshine again with the high about 77, clear skies Friday night, the low 55. So again, there is a slight chance for showers this weekend. That will happen if it happens on Sunday. Otherwise, partly cloudy this weekend with highs in the low to mid-70s and lows in the lower 50s. Looking pretty good. Not much in the way of precipitation headed our way. Checking temperatures around the region at this hour. 63 degrees in Danville, 64 with some scattered clouds in Decatur. It's mostly cloudy, 66 in Jacksonville. In Chicago, mostly cloudy skies, 57 degrees reported at the top of the hour. And at Willard Airport in Champaign at the top of the hour, mostly cloudy skies, 64 degrees. Winds out of the northwest at 14 miles an hour, gusting to 23. Relative humidity, 50%. Barometric pressure, 29.94 inches and falling. And outside our studios here in Urbana on Friends Plaza right now, it's 64 degrees at 1240. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Afternoon Magazine on listener-supported public radio, WILL AM 580. For the first time since he became mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel visited the state capitol. His visit focused on the same issue that's consuming state leaders, the rising cost of pensions. Like Governor Pat Quinn did last month, Emanuel yesterday introduced a plan that cuts government employees' retirement benefits. And like Governor Quinn, Emanuel is facing pushback from workers who say that it's an illegal breach of contract. Amanda Vinicky has more.
Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel was careful to not lay the blame on government employees.
We do not face these challenges in the city or in the state because our public employees or our taxpayers did anything wrong. They did what was required of them every pay stub.
The people who did not do what was required of them were political leaders in Chicago and Springfield. The city and state continually pushed off paying their shares of pension costs, instead spending the money on projects and programs with an immediate payoff.
The day of reckoning was pushed down the road and kicked the can was kicked down the road. We postponed making choices We made promises that couldn't be kept. But this is one challenge we can't run away from.
Illinois has the largest unfunded pension liability in the nation, and Chicago says if nothing's done, four of its pension funds will be insolvent by 2030. Emanuel laid out a stark choice: enact changes to bring down the city's pension costs, he says, or the money he'll have to spend on pensions will squeeze out funding for other services like road repair, police and fire protection, and garbage pickup. Emanuel says he'd have to lay off teachers and increase classroom size to 55. Or, he says, Chicago's property taxes would have to go up 150%.
Just think about it. No family or company will come to Chicago if property taxes climb so quickly and so high. Raising property taxes by 150% would ruin family budgets, corporate budgets, municipal budgets, and ultimately, the state's budget.
Emanuel put forth his own plan for digging Chicago out of the mess. Like Governor Quinn's state plan, Emanuel wants city employees to work longer and pay more for their retirement. But unlike the governor, who leaves current retirees' benefits untouched, Emanuel wants a 10-year freeze in annual cost of living adjustments for anyone who's already retired. He says the compounded COLAs are the single biggest burden and threat to Chicago's pension system. But Emanuel can't make these changes on his own. He needs permission from the legislature and governor. The mayor's Capitol appearance, private meeting with Republicans, and brief speech on the House floor may boost his chances, House Speaker Mike Madigan.
I think his presence is helpful on pension reform across the board.
Across the board is an apt description for what may be coming. It's not just Chicago that's calling for a pension fix. The Illinois Municipal League's legislative director, Joe McCoy, says cities across Illinois are facing similar problems of growing unfunded liabilities. He says it's a disturbing trend that's grown in recent years as stock values tumbled. McCoy says there's not much municipalities can do about it. They don't decide what retirement benefits should be offered to employees. The state does.
And they don't have to put in a single dime toward funding the financial obligations that they've imposed on local taxpayers. So they don't have any real incentive to restrain themselves from enhancing benefits because they reap all the political benefits of increasing the pension levels without having to pay the bill.
McCoy says Illinois cities need the state to do something to rein in their pension costs, and he says in order for it to work, it must include cutting current employees' benefits. But that's where it gets tricky. Illinois' Constitution guarantees public pensions can't be diminished, which puts both Emanuel's and Quinn's plans in legal jeopardy.
The guy does 30 years, you know, 27 years down the road, you can't just change the rules of the game for the employee. It's an individual contract between the employee and the employer, and you cannot reduce those benefits. It's against the Constitution in Illinois.
That's Michael Shields, the president of the Fraternal Order of Police of Chicago. He says Emanuel's visit to the Capitol was mostly posturing. He says the mayor was trying to alarm taxpayers, pitting them against police officers and other public employees who've worked hard to earn their pensions. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
In northern Iowa, a group of farmers have banded together to buy nearly 30 miles of railroad track to assure they can get their grain to the ethanol market. Dean Borg of Iowa Public Radio reports.
It's been 7 years since folks have heard a train whistle in Forest City, Iowa. But Iowa Northern Locomotives are now again switching rail cars alongside the co-op elevators towering grain silos.
The community has been spectacular. The people there are excited to have us back in the area, and they love seeing our engines going up and down that line.
That's the Northern Railroad's Amy Homan. Iowa Northern is partnering with some farmers and business interests here who bought nearly 30 miles of rail track that was being abandoned by the Union Pacific Railroad. Short line tracks, like this one, are being idled across the country as railroads concentrate on longer trains. But North Iowa farmers and business interests didn't want to lose their rail connection to the outside world. To Forest City Co-op elevator manager Randy Brewster, keeping trains is a matter of survival.
People know if the rail leaves, it never comes back. And they've seen a lot of it happen in the area because we've had other tracks that the lands went back to the farmer, and you know there's not going to be another track there. And you look at neighboring elevators that used to be good size. They just don't have many employees anymore because they don't do a lot.
So Forest City and Garner Grain Elevators, along with farmers and manufacturer Winnebago Industries, pooled their money to buy the 28 miles of railroad the Union Pacific was selling for $1.5 million.
It's a small group, but it's a group that wanted to see the rail survive.
Brewster currently sells corn to nearby ethanol plants, but worries.
If we lose our local ethanol market, which is Hanlontown, which is a small plant of 50,000 bushels a day is what they're grinding, they're going to probably be the first one to go down, and we need to have somebody that's got a big appetite for a couple hundred thousand bushels.
The big appetite is ADM's huge corn processing plant in Cedar Rapids, nearly 200 miles away. Just buying 28 miles of rail track provides the connection to another rail line leading to ADM. That's the business plan for maintaining markets, shipping corn halfway across the state by rail at about the same cost as by truck to nearby ethanol plants.
Long term, you need to look at the freight rates. We can go a lot further with train, a lot more efficient.
Iowa Governor Terry Branstad, who rode the Iowa Northern locomotive through a ceremonial ribbon, calls the rail purchase a win-win.
There are shipping trainloads of grain from both Forest City and Garner to ADM, and of course, that's increased the price of corn in that region, and it's also given ADM another supply of corn.
Along with Iowa Northern's Amy Holman, I climb into a huge black locomotive in Garner, Iowa.
We currently have five UAN fertilizer cars, loaded cars in our train, and 25 empty grain hoppers that will be taking up to Forest City.
The 11-mile ride to Forest City will take an hour and a half. Because of track conditions, the engineer is holding the throttle at 10 miles an hour. But for the Iowa Northern, this is a track that leads to grain needing a market.
Grain is our primary business, and so this line made sense for us because of that huge volume of grain potential that's there.
And there's a worst scenario plan. Investors say they can always recover their money by selling the 28 miles of track as scrap steel. For NPR News, I'm Dean Borg.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Subaru of Champaign County, featuring the Subaru Impreza, with standard all-wheel drive and an EPA highway rating of 36 mpg, depending on conditions. More information is available at SubaruofChampaign.com or at their location on Route 45 in Savoy.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 9th of May, 2012. It's the birthday of the novelist Richard Adams, born in Washcommon, England, 1920. He was a civil servant with two young daughters. He made up stories for them. They were going on a long car trip when one of the girls told him he had to make up a new story, a long story that would last the whole trip. So he made up a story about a band of rabbits who were escaping the destruction of their home. And the story did last the trip. And when it was done, his daughter Juliet said, "You ought to write it down. It's too good to waste." So he did. The story was rejected by many publishers as too grown up for kids and too simple for adults. But a small publisher finally came out with a print run, a small run, couldn't pay Adams any advance. But after it got good reviews, the sales took off, and within a couple of years, Watership Down had sold more than 1 million copies back in 1972. It's the birthday of the poet Joy Harjo, born Tulsa, 1951, a member of the Muscogee Creek Nation. Went to boarding school in Santa Fe, run by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. It was called the Institute of American Indian Arts, and it drew creative students from all over the country. She was interested in fashion design at the time and then changed her major to drama and dance and then studio art before she was accepted into the Iowa Writers' Workshop. She had two small children, and she packed them into the back of a pickup truck, and they drove north to Iowa. Joy Harjo, who said that her poetry always begins with dancing and rhythm. She said, "My contention is that music, poetry, and dance came into the world together." Published numerous books of poetry and also two books for young readers. Her newest, a memoir called Crazy Brave, due out this summer. It's the birthday of the poet Charles Simic, born in Belgrade, Yugoslavia, 1938. Family survived the bombing of Belgrade during World War II, fled Eastern Europe after the war, moved first to New York, which Simic said looked like painted sets at a sideshow in a carnival, and then to Chicago, which he described as a coffee table edition of the Communist Manifesto with glossy pictures of lakefront mansions and inner city slums. He's published nearly 36 books of poetry, many works of prose, and was Poet Laureate of the United States. Here's a poem by Joy Harjo on her birthday, entitled Eagle Poem. To pray, you open your whole self to sky, to earth, to sun, to moon, to one whole voice that is you, and know there is more that you can't see, can't hear, can't know, except in moments steadily growing and in languages that aren't always sound, but other circles of motion, like eagle, that Sunday morning over Salt River, circled in blue sky, in wind, swept our hearts clean with sacred wings. We see you, see ourselves, and know that we must take the utmost care and kindness in all things. Breathe in